This is Cradle My Heart Radio with your host, Kim Cotola. Cradle My Heart Radio, preventing abortion and helping those it hurts.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
And now, Kim Cotola and Cradle My Heart Radio.
Welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. We are so glad that you are able to set aside a portion of your weekend to listen and to give your attention to the issue of life. And I'm very excited about our guest for this edition of Cradle My Heart Radio. I met Chaplain Aisha Kreitz on the way to Selma, Alabama. We were part of the initiative that Catherine Davis put together to shut down an abortion operator who was working under the radar and bringing great harm to women of color, in particular, in Selma, Alabama. And it was a very successful initiative. And Aisha was someone I connected with immediately. She is the founder and pro-life director of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of New York. And that's a grassroots Christian public policy and educational organization, bringing the sanctity of free market and limited government ideas to bear on the hardest problems facing our nation. Aisha, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's start with your founder. Let's start the inspiration for your organization, Frederick Douglass. There are sadly still people who do not know his story. So give us the thumbnail sketch of his bio and, you know, why he's still providing inspiration to so many today.
Actually, the founders for the Frederick Douglass Foundation, it is a national organization. I just founded the one in New York. We have 19 chapters nationwide. Tim Johnson, who has since passed away a couple of years ago, and Dean Nelson and Troy Rowling actually founded the national organization. Dean Nelson, he does a ton of things, pro-life, everything. He's part of Human Coalition, works a lot with the Family Research Council. But Tim Johnson was really the one that came about to say, oh, okay, you know, Frederick Douglass. And Frederick Douglass was, you know, born into slavery, and at the end of his life, you know, I mean, he self-taught himself how to read, actually was beaten for learning how to read. One of the stories was that he went, the slave master's wife had started to teach him to read, and then they came and said, hey, you can't teach a black man to read. If you do, a slave to read, if you do, they won't be fit to be a slave after that. But he had already learned, like, his ABCs, so he started going down to the docks on his free time, and he would engage the white kids, the free kids, and he would say, hey, I bet you I can spell better than you, and, you know, he'd pick a word, and, they, you know, hey, key, and so he'd use a rock, and they'd write it in. Of course, he didn't know how to spell, but they would write it the right way, and then they'd beat him up, and that's how he taught himself to read, for the most part, and to spell, and so from that, by the end of his life, you know, he is considered the father of the civil rights movement. Again, born into slavery. And at the end of his life, he was a homeowner, had savings of approximately what would be the equivalent today of about $10 million, $300,000. He traveled the world, wrote four books, one of them while he was a runaway slave, and he had four presidential appointments under his belt. So one of the things that, you know, his big thing that he would go forth and preach about was, he said, what's possible for me is possible for you. And we believe, and Tim Johnson, Troy Rowling, Dean Nelson, you know, that taking those keys to success and making them your own. And Frederick Douglass Foundation was created to honor that life, that you have to respect people, respect the success that you can have, and that if you can dream, then you can do it. And it doesn't matter what you were born into. It matters what you do with the cards that you were dealt. And that's basically where it comes from. He was an abolitionist, obviously, and he had his own newspaper. I mean, just his accolades, you know, you could go on and on when you think about, oh, he was born into slavery, beaten within inches of his life, and yet he still was able to accomplish all these things. So there's no excuses. Today we live in a world where, you know, we are free people. I was born a free person, and I intend to leave a free country for my kids. And that's where that comes from and why they developed the organization. He was a devoted Christian, and that's the three pillars of the organization: devoted Christian, proud American, active Republican. He was also a Republican, and, you know, one of his famous quotes was, you know, if I ever were to speak out against the Republican Party, may my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. So, and we try to honor that. We are one of only four organizations that are endorsed by the family, because he does have a public domain name, but the family did give, you know, blessing that we use it, because they understand, although a lot of them may not fall in line with who he was, they do agree that that is who he is.
Wow. And it's a fascinating story, and I learned little bits and pieces that I was not aware of there. So thank you for taking us through it. And also for, you know, casting a vision for a way out of the gridlock of racial politics and the gridlock of all of the problems that are seem so unsolvable and so intractable. And if he accomplished all of this in a much worse time for race relations, how much more is the opportunity before us? You know,
exactly.
And
speaking of racial politics, that's the other thing. So, you know, he was beaten within inches of his life a couple times, you know, by a white man. His first wife was black. His second wife was white. You know, so we're not a black organization. You know, we have white and Hispanic leaders within our group. So, you know, his kids were like, what are you doing marrying a white woman? He was like, so you want people to treat us equally. I fell in love with a white person. Who cares? You know what I mean? So that's another aspect. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's
when
great.
When you said that, it just triggered that.
It's great because, again, it's eye-opening. It's a really different perspective and one that we don't hear every day. I think it's also kind of surprising probably for some people listening to think about, you know, an organization like this that is, you know, founded on the work of a very distinguished black American, that this group and this organization is 100% pro-life today. So
100%, yes.
Yeah, let's talk about that, Aisha.
Sure. Well, you know, obviously you don't get freedom. You know, nothing starts without life. And one of the, big pillars, you know, we have to remember that a person is an organism with its own unique DNA. And we are created in the image of God. And that is the thing that, you know, people forget, that it doesn't matter how you were born, where you were born, what defects, you know, it doesn't matter. Everybody has a purpose. And therefore, any person demands our utmost dignity, respect, and protection. So we come from that perspective and trying to educate and promote within all communities that we really have to re-engage and think about what it means to be a person and why we are unique and why life is important. So a lot of the initiative, I mean, we pride ourselves as well, at least I myself do, you know, to work with organizations, you know, some, whether you want to hold a sign of babies out in front of a, you know, mutilated babies in front of an abortion clinic, or you want to stand there with a piece of tape on your mouth, or you just want to counsel, it doesn't matter. We're all on the same team. And so I firmly believe in us being able to network together and connect with one another and overlap where it is that we can overlap. And I think that is a big issue that is missing within the life organization, right? United we stand, and we have to be able to start instead of henpecking at each other and saying, oh, well, they do this. I don't like them because they do that.
Mm-hmm.
We have to stop doing those type of things and begin to work together. And when we can do that, I believe we'll see a change that is unstoppable. You know, us as pro-lifers, abolitionists, right? We're 21st century abolitionists. That's what we call ourselves, is, you know, we're vital in that. And you know, again, some people, I'm very hardcore, right? Actually, my youngest daughter was saved from abortion. I've had three abortions myself. My youngest is now 11 years old, and she, you know, it was those people that stand in front of the abortion clinic that help save her and help me to get more involved in the pro-life movement. But through the Frederick Douglass Foundation, we have many initiatives that we try to work. We work with Mark Crutcher, Alpha 21, like I said, Ryan Bomberger, the Radiance Foundation. You know, I don't have a problem. Like, yeah, if I can highlight an organization or someone else doing something that's amazing and somebody might catch their vision but doesn't catch ours, more power to it. As long as you get involved and you become an active American, that's what we're looking for.
Right. What could the church do if we didn't care who got credit? I agree with you.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, who cares who gets credit? Just do it.
Well, and Aisha, I want to talk about your partnership right now with the Radiance Foundation and Ryan Bomberger, because, first of all, tell us what's going on with that. And I'm really curious about any reaction that has come your way so far.
So one of the initiatives, actually, we started working with a whole group of local pro-lifers. We came up with a initiative. It's called Am I Not a Child? And it really stems from... you know, again, back to slavery, and it, you know, this is kind of how we present it to different pastors and people within communities of color. Is in 1787, we asked, "Am I not a man and a brother?" And we overcame. In 1837, we asked, "Am I not a woman and a sister?" And we were victors. The time has come for us to raise our voice for the future of our people today, and say, "Am I not a child, a daughter, or a son?" And that has resonated because it's such an iconic thing within communities of color, the am I not a man, am I not a woman, and the coins that go along with that. So for the last couple of years, we've been putting on commercials on TV, you know, and we're talking like commercials that are directly to communities of color. We had Walter Hoy from the Life Issues for Life, he's also Frederick Douglass Foundation member out in California, come and help kick off the initiative. We have pastors that are literally communists, not pro-lifers in any sense, who have come on to this initiative. You can go to aminotachild.com and sign. It's a personhood initiative. Our latest thing that we're doing right now, it's actually with Peaceful Solutions, paid for the billboard, thank you, and Ryan Bomberger, he has a billboard that he did that was a man kissing a woman's stomach, and it says fatherhood begins in the womb. And so we just took and adapted that. It's on a major highway out where we live that we put it up. We took a local couple and put them, changed it in so that when people go by, they're like, oh, wow, we know them, and then can say, yeah, and they're pro-life too, so that we can try and start that conversation. Then it just says the same thing. Father, we wanted it up for Father's Day. Fatherhood begins in the womb, and then our website, and that's pretty much it, you know. And like I said, partnering with Radiance Foundation and Peaceful Solutions.
Well, I know people may remember that Radiance Foundation put up billboards which had the message "Too many aborted," and I think slogans like "The safest or the most dangerous place to be a black child in America is in the mother's womb." And there was a backlash, you know, especially from women of color saying this is, you know, acting as if we can't make our own decisions. We don't need people coming in and telling us that we haven't thought this through. So I wonder if you've gotten any backlash from the current billboard campaign, or if you've, you know, if you've gotten how reaction has gone.
Actually, so far it's been very positive. We haven't had any negative backlash. I am a pretty hardcore person, so when people know that I'm involved in something, you know, they're like, you know, I do think that there is a little bit more of a you know, they might strategize, take them a little bit longer before they want to reply, you know, those that may try to come against it, but I think that we have proven ourselves pretty ready for anything that comes our way. So I think for some of us, it may be a little bit different. And again, it's coming from an organization of color. So there's not a lot of wiggle room for them, you know, from that standpoint. But as well, I mean, fatherhood begins in the womb. How less evasive can you get than that? If you want to have that argument or give pushback on that, I would welcome that conversation. So I'm like, come on, you know, and I think they know that. Like I said, I don't really shy away. You know, the area that I am from, most of the time, I think they come from a place where if she's involved, we would just rather try and ignore it than do anything. But that's, you know, very helpful to us and our initiatives, because that allows us to have conversations without a lot of pushback, you know. And again, I try love, speaking the truth in love, you know, the truth being God's word, absolutely, but as well being able to share that in a way, you know, in a biblical worldview and how it applies to issues that are facing us today. And so I think that's part of, you know, again, I haven't had any backlash yet. The billboard has been up for since last Thursday. So I would think that if we were going to get major backlash, we would have probably got it by now. But instead, I mean, it's been such a great reaction, positive feedback. And again, it's another community couple that's on the billboard.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I haven't heard from them that they're getting much flack. You know, again, give us a week, come back, and I'll let you know if it stays that way or not. But for now, it's doing good, and that's exactly what we want. We're like, yeah, you know, if it's going to be negative and you want pushback, we've got this. But hopefully we can have this conversation, have a civil conversation about what it means. And again, in Rochester, we've been doing great. In the Black community, Rochester, 36% of all pregnancies end in abortion. And in the last 10 years, the fertility rate in the Black community has dropped by about a quarter. So that's one of our concerns that we have. You know, we are killing ourselves off. And so once we put things like this up and we can have it, it's like, well, you do understand what's happening, right? You know, even if you want to take it in the context of, you know, color and the man and people trying to, you know, kill you off, well, that's exactly what you're doing to yourself. So, you know, we really do have the tools. We make sure that we have people that are ready to fight. That's another reason why that couple, we're like, hey, the backlash that you've seen other people get, because, you know, like you use a model of somebody that's just on one of these stock photos, then they can come back and say, take that down. That's not what I want in my picture done. So we're really trying to make sure that we find people, you know, strategizing, saying, hey, if you get backlash, can you handle it before we put them up then?
Sure. Awesome. Our guest is Aisha Kreitz, and she's a chaplain and the founder and pro-life director of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of New York, which is a grassroots Christian public policy and educational organization. And Aisha, you know, the idea of Black genocide is something that we have talked about several times with Walter Hoy, with Ryan Bomberger, with other guests on this program. And yet it's still an idea that remains either controversial or people just dismiss it out of hand. And I guess I want to give you the opportunity to say more about it. I think you laid out the case there very clearly. But I want to give you the opportunity to say more for somebody that maybe this is a brand new idea, that, you know, that people are killing themselves off in the Black community. What would you say to someone who really has no awareness of this at all?
Oh, well, no awareness of it at all would be, first off, start and look at the numbers. You know, like I said, we make up childbearing age of Blacks. We make up about 6% of the population in America. And yet, the overall, you know, across America is around 36. We have around 36% of all abortions. And in some places, more so like New York City, you know, they're in complete depopulation. There's more abortions than live births. And when we go through and we look at, why is this? And again, you can get the pushback where it's like, oh, well, we haven't thought about this. You know, I'd rather not bring in someone into the world, into this horrible world, and all of, you know, the whole thing that you get. Because you do now, you see it's change. There used to be a place where people were like, well, it's not really a baby. It's not really a child. But you don't necessarily see that within the Black community. They're like, yeah, I know it's a baby. And I know that I'm killing my child, but I can't afford to take care of this child. You know, whether I already have three and I'm having one, or whether it's, yeah, I can't do this. So you have seen a complete turnaround from since the 60s, I would say, late 60s, early 70s is when things really started to change. You know, it used to be blacks are like, well, we came through slavery. We stopped that genocide. There's no way we're going to kill ourselves off. But then what Margaret Sanger and the eugenicist movement really changing things, manipulating things, right? Because it's all about lying propaganda and how you put that propaganda forward. And they started using the church and using the things that we're fearful about, right? The God, we're not supposed to operate in fear. God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but that's what the enemy uses against us. What am I going to do? I know for myself, that's what it was. I was 14 years old. I was pregnant. My parents were like, or my mom, and, thinking they're doing the best for you. This is going to ruin your life. What are you going to do with yourself if you don't? Blah, blah, blah. When I went to Planned Parenthood, and I was far along, I knew it was a boy. I was far enough along. We had to travel to Schenectady, New York, the Planned Parenthood there for me to have my abortion because I was so far along. And although I knew I didn't want to do it, everybody around you is telling me, well, this is the best thing for you. And that's kind of what has been happening now, is that we're living in a place where, hey, this isn't a unique child, or the parents and the family isn't coming around us and saying, it's okay, Aunt Judy will take the baby, right? That's how it used to be. Now it's, just get rid of it. We can't, and we're struggling. And when you look at those things, you have to tell yourself, oh, yeah, there is a problem here within this community. You don't see it as much in other communities. Again, the whites have about 40% of the population, abortions, but again, they make up 70% of the population, so it's not the same thing. So just the sheer numbers alone, we can look at it and say, okay, there's a problem. And I would encourage people just, look at the numbers and then start from there and say, hey, where is that? And when you start doing your own research, you quickly, if you are not trying to lie to yourself or push a particular agenda, but you're actually coming from a place of love and compassion, then you're going to say there's a problem here. And then I believe, especially if you're Christian, if you're coming from a place where you love the Lord, He is going to give you direction, and He's going to, and as you start praying about that and you see the issue, He's going to give you something and say, hey, whether it's plug in something or give you a brilliant idea. Sure. And I say, run with that.
Sure. And we'll have links, by the way, to some of the statistics and other materials about black genocide at cradlemyheart.org if this is brand new information to you. Aisha Kreitz is our guest, and she is a chaplain and the founder of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of New York. And Aisha, we've got only about 4 minutes remaining, but I want to give you the chance to talk about becoming pro-life. You had 3 abortions, and yet you're now, as you said, hardcore. You're 100% pro life. What was the turning point for you?
Well, after I got saved, I'm going to try and go quick. It's 4 minutes. I got saved. Like, I started reading the Word, having to really push aside, and the thing, everything that I knew. I grew up in a hippie atheist home, and there just came a point where, as I'm reading the Word of God, I'm like, oh, life is important. And although I was still I was becoming pro-life, but even after being pro-life and becoming engaged within the pro-life movement, I got pregnant with my youngest daughter, she just turned 12, and I was going to abort her. She was literally hours away, and my thought process was, again, so there's people in your church right now sitting there in the pews. This is what turned me around to be pro-life. In the church, they weren't speaking about it. But all I could think about was, if people know that I went out, right, had premarital sex, again, I already had 2 kids, 2 different dads. Now I'm going to have 3 kids, 3 different dads. I'm a leader. People look up to me. I can just have this abortion, Planned Parenthood, because, of course, you know where to go, because they'll always get rid of your baby for you. They said, now you can just take a pill and in the privacy of your own home have a forced miscarriage. I said, oh, I want that. Nobody will know. Nobody will. My sins will not have to follow me around. But it was by the grace of God that Rescue Rochester, Terry Crawford, Mike Warren, and Gary Crawford, who started Rescue Rochester here, I'm still involved with them. They are like my spiritual family now, and they came and said, you don't have to, and it was amazing. Again, that's a whole other story and how that happened, and they turned it around, and my baby's alive today. And I can tell you something. I think about the babies that I aborted, and I look at my child that I have now, and I think to myself the joy that I missed out on. It was the moment that I realized that I didn't just have an abortion, but that I'm a mother of a dead child, and having to come to grips with that, that turned my life around. And I said to myself, never again. And if I can prevent one other person to have to go through this, I will do whatever I can. And I committed myself to the Lord and said, Lord, okay, you go and you use me in whatever way you see fit in order to have your honor and glory be brought forth in this matter. And that was kind of it, I hope.
We are out of time, so we're just going to have to schedule a part two because there's so much more to say.
Thank you so much for having me.
Aisha Kreutz of the Frederick Douglass Foundation of New York, and we'll have that linked at cradlemyheart.org. Now stay with us. Coming up, we'll open the phones for your calls at 1-800-811-3003 here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
This is where the healing begins. Oh, this is where the healing starts. When you come to where you're broken within, the light meets the dark. The light meets the dark.
Cradle My Heart. With Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
Good evening, and we are live. Thank you for tuning in. We appreciate you being here with us on this Sunday night, the 13th of August. And our phones are open at 1-800-811-3003, 1-800-811-3003, and that is a toll-free call. So please do not let anything stop you from joining the conversation. Now, maybe you want to respond to Aisha Kreitz's story. I mean, she had so much to say, and I think that, you know, so much of what she is engaged in is such a compelling topic. So if you have a reaction, you want to share some encouragement that you received, just join us at 1-800-811-3003. Oh my goodness. With the way things heated up this weekend in the Charlottesville protest, I mean, is anyone else out there just completely confused by the players? It's like, how do we even know what the positions are in the midst of the just racial strife that is unfolding, and tragically so, in the rioting this weekend? 1-800-811-3003. The answer has to be valuing all life. The answer has to be valuing all life. 1-800-811-3003. And this is one of the reasons why I really appreciate Aisha's voice and Ryan Bomberger, because they bear the dignity being people of color, and they bear the burden of reconciliation beautifully. Born out of sorrow, and in some cases, you know, with people like Aisha, so many voices that we've had as guests on this show. Catherine Davis, whom we mentioned when we spoke with Aisha, Christina Bennett, so many people of color who, Brian and Denise Walker, forgive me if I'm forgetting one, because Walter Hoy, I mean, we've had so many. Star Parker, Rhonda Barnes, people who have truly helped us understand this issue from, you know, a lens that is different than the average white person. And it circles back to the value of each life. So we could talk about that tonight. And I'm really up for that conversation. I'd love to hear your thoughts about it. And how do we get to reconciliation on large scale, racial reconciliation on a large scale as a pro-life issue? 1-800-811-3003. There are a couple of other things that I want to talk about, though. And so it's up to you. You join us and you can set the tone. I guess it'll be sort of an open conversation tonight, open phones, if you will. One of the things that God really laid on my heart this week while I was in my personal devotions was thinking back to last week's guest. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, you go to cradlemyheart.org and you can listen to the podcast playback. You can subscribe to our podcast in iTunes. It's free, and that way you won't miss an episode each week. Anyway, the story last week was Paula Ellefson's story, and she was, immature and at 18, acting like an adult, but very immature. And also add alcohol into the mix. Her story was so steeped in an alcoholic haze that she couldn't even recall details of an abortion in her past. The abortion she did remember was meant to correct the mistake of sleeping with a man she didn't love and had no intention of remaining connected to. And I'll tell you, so often that is the story. The abortion is a huge problem, mistake, sin, but the life in which that abortion happened, it was a life lived apart from the safety of full submission to God's loving hand in our lives. And that failure to submit can happen to any of us, Christian or not. Yes, you can be a believer in Jesus Christ and not submitted to him, and thus vulnerable to the sin that so easily entangles, as it says in Hebrews. The result is not just even, entanglements, but it's a soul sickness that requires healing. And it requires care from the only one able to meet that need in us. And I came upon this verse in my devotions from Isaiah 1, 5 through 6. And it says, and bear with me because this is, this is the difficult diagnosis that we have to receive. Isaiah 1, 5, 6 says, 5 and 6, it says, the whole head is sick, and the whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. And, strong words like that absolutely fit the heart sickness that many of us feel in the aftermath of abortion. But they're not meant as a prescription. They're a description of what can happen to us, but they are not meant as a prescription of what God is going to do to us. Too often, I find people on both Christian and secular pro-life views and websites and commenting sections and online forum and even in conversations, condemning women who aborted, thinking that they need to wound us into remorse as if such a thing were possible. And I have to say that such thinking betrays a lack of humility for the fact that the sickness described in Isaiah 1 is the diagnosis for everyone apart from Christ. Yes, even people in the church who are living apart from his grace and trying somehow in self-will to be righteous. It takes some time for that to sink in. But God's word says a religious heart is a festering sore that needs healing, whether or not you had an abortion. The issue is trying to be righteous. And wow, if you read Isaiah 1, God says your religious performance is the problem. There's an extended section where it says where the Lord says, the multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings, rams and the fat of fattened animals, and I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. And when you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my courts? Well, of course, today we're not bringing animals to sacrifice when we head to church. But maybe we're bringing something tucked into our pockets, tucked into our hearts, that says, I give therefore I'm doing my religious obligation, or something that says, well, I'm a good person, therefore I'm in right standing with God. You know, anything that relies on rules, whether or not they're someone else's rules or rules we've made up for ourselves, God says it falls short. Because the only thing that accomplishes getting us into right standing is accepting what Christ has done for us. And that it's finished and that it's fully accomplished in Him. And that all we need to do is have faith in the almighty sufficiency of it. And, you know, this was so on my heart as I was reading this week. The good news is that, you know, it's in Isaiah that we read that God binds up the brokenhearted, you know, where it says there, as I read to you, that there's, you know, your wounds have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. This is what Christ has come to do for our broken and ill hearts. This is what He has come to do. He has come to heal. And the verse was part of a daily devotional that I read, and maybe I brought it up to you before. It's all scripture. It's called Daily Light on the Daily Path. And there's a foreword written by Ann Graham Lotz, but the devotional was compiled by a pastor over 100 years ago. Samuel Bagster was his name, not Baxter with an X, but Bagster, B-A-G-S-T-E-R. And he compiles a reading for the morning and the evening every day with a theme of scripture. And the theme for the day that he used this verse from Isaiah about how the whole head is sick, etc. The theme verse was, "Thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee," from Song of Songs, right? Songs of Song. So that's the after. But we all have to face the fact that before Christ has healed us, we are in that state. Now, after abortion, we know it all too well. Whether or not we have hardened hearts that refuse to believe it or acknowledge it, or whether or not we have broken hearts that can't think of or acknowledge anything else, we all know it. And what's lovely is the verse that he brings into play after this description of our state and our dilemma. You are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Romans 7:18, you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified. And he goes on to quote, "Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us," from Psalm 45. "These are they which have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but holy and without blemish." And finally, from Colossians 2:10, "Ye are complete in Him." To me, this is such a reassurance, even now, because I feel that I am healed in the Lord. But, you know, as with grief for any lost loved one, I believe the healing is ongoing. You know, I have a friend whose grandson was tragically struck by a car and died at age 7, a drunk driver in the middle of the day. And it doesn't get better with time. As she has said to me, it's one more Christmas that he's not here. Time alone does not heal our grief. But this ongoing relationship with Christ, as he shows us more and more of his goodness, as he brings us more and more of his redemption, as the beauty of his love shines more and more within our hearts, leads to this ongoing healing, which is really such a lovely thing. It's almost time for our break, so I want to give you the phone number again and invite you to join the conversation at 1-800-811-3003 1-800-811-3003. We do have a resource tonight. We have a copy of Shame Interrupted by Edward Welch, who is with the Christian Counseling and Education Foundation, CCEF. And Ed is a professional counselor, licensed psychologist. He's counseled for over 30 years. He's the best-selling author of many books. And this is a wonderful book about shame and about how God lifts the pain of worthlessness and rejection. And wow, those emotions are at the center of so many abortion decisions. So if you'd like a copy of Edward Welch's book, Shame Interrupted, join us with your question or comment at 1-800-811-3003. When we come back, I want to talk about an article that we've shared on our Facebook page from Life News. And the headline says, should pro-life people shame women who have had abortions? Let's hear your thoughts coming up after our break here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cattola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Thank you so much for being with us. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. That's a toll-free call, and we'd love to hear from you. The Facebook story that we posted was from the LifeNews.com Facebook page, and they published the story this week. And I really respect Josh Brom from the Equal Rights Institute. He's a pro-life apologist. He does witnessing on college campuses, and he's a broadcaster and podcaster and just does a wonderful job conveying pro-life truth. He's trying to emphasize the importance of language and how we talk about things. And so he wrote an opinion piece saying, look, you know, do we need to shame women who have had abortions? Should pro-life people shame women who have had abortions? And, you know, as a woman who's had an abortion, I read that headline and I thought, no, why would you even ask such a question? I mean, we have, first of all, in Romans, the word says, do you not know that God's kindness leads to repentance? What people need to do is not to feel bad or feel shame. They need to repent. They need a new mindset. They need to change their way of thinking about having made that choice. Now, some made it with tears. Some made it with a broken heart. Some made it, you know, casually out of convenience. I've never met that person, but I hear that. I hear that from a lot of people who haven't had abortions. And oh my goodness, the reason I shared it on our Facebook page, which is just at Cradle My Heart, please go and like the page, by the way. We're building audience, and I'd really appreciate that if you give us a thumbs up and like the page. But, you know, there's so many people commenting on this thread, refusing to believe those of us who say, I was a subject to misinformation that was deliberately fed to me for the purpose of deception, and I was ignorant. Now, you know, if you're an old timer like me, before smartphones and Google, it's maybe easier for someone to accept that, okay, I really didn't have a way to research this. But even I don't know that I would have, because, you know, the whole point. And this is really interesting. This is a little side note, but the abortion industry right now is really pushing back against pregnancy resource centers and calling them fake clinics and trying to claim, you know, stake the flag at the top of the hill that they're the healthcare providers leading the charge with this is Planned Parenthood, even though they don't do postnatal care. They don't do prenatal care. They only will give you an ultrasound to date your pregnancy before they abort you. They're not a healthcare provider, but that's a different subject. But anyway, you know, they're staking their claim as healthcare. So guess what? Young women who are desperate for a solution, go to someplace like Planned Parenthood or some other abortion business, and they ask, is this a baby, like I did? And if you're told it's just tissue, it's a missed period, or some of the other deceptive terms they use, are you going to fault that young woman for trusting a healthcare provider with their answers? Wow, it's just, I mean, I shouldn't be surprised, but I really was at the number of pro-lifers who are absolutely in favor of shaming everyone, not just the unrepentant, not just those who remain hard-hearted about having had an abortion, but shaming everyone because they knew. Like, wow. No. If you want, well, it depends what your purpose is, I guess. I mean, if your purpose is to occupy some moral high ground and ignore your own spiritual condition as outlined for us in Isaiah 1, 5, and 6, I mean, if your purpose is to be righteous to because you're right, you know, and I understand that many are in the pro-life movement because they have a deep, deep sorrow about the loss of life and about the slaughter of innocent children and the millions who are missing from this planet. I understand. I get that. And righteous indignation has its place. And this is the preeminent moral crisis of our time. But the ones who are actually in some very quiet but very influential ways leading the charge are those of us who, like me, have been brought forward, as the word says, God conveyed us from the darkness into the kingdom of his love. And he didn't do it by condemning us. Our hearts do a fine enough job. So I forgive me for being on a bit of a soapbox with it tonight, but I felt like maybe it's something that still needs to be said. I mean, if you're listening to this program, not because you've had an abortion, but because you're upset about the loss of life and about, you know, the 3,000 lives being sacrificed on the altar of abortion every day, a million a year. It's a horrible, horrible tragedy. But so often, not in every case, but so often, the women are pawns in a game that's not only political, but for profit and for some ideological power play in the hands of some, pawns exploited by powers happening over their heads when they find themselves in a problem that presents itself as life-threatening. 1-800-811-3003 is our number. And if you disagree, I would love to hear from you. And our time is short now. If you send me an email, we'll deal with it on the air on a coming program. Kim@cradlemyheart.org. I answer my emails personally. I do not share them on the air or with anyone, so you can write to me in confidence. And by the way, I heard from someone who wrote to me to request a copy of my book, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion, and it's in the mail. It should be arriving tomorrow. So please know that we do that. We have a donor who has made copies available. If you cannot afford to buy the book, just get in touch and let us know your mailing address, and we'll be very happy to send you a copy of it. We're not in this for profit. I don't draw a salary or in any way benefit financially. We have to do a fundraising appeal to help with the syndication effort for our daily feature, you know, and we receive in-kind donation for the airtime that we receive for programs on this weekly basis. And book sales that we do manage to put together, the net proceeds are donated to pregnancy resource centers in the life-saving work that they do. So because, again, of a donor, though, we can make some free copies of the book available to you. So contact us. Let us know. No one here at Cradle My Heart will shame you. You'll be given understanding. You'll be given the truth from God's word, which will contribute to the healing of your heart. And know that that is where your answer lies. If you don't know my whole story, it was 23 years wandering in a wilderness looking for emotional relief in self-help books and therapy and tears on my pillow. But when the light of the truth of the love of Jesus Christ dawned in my heart, my emotions were healed and resolved. And I'm not special. This is who God is and what he does for us. I'd love to hear your story. Write to me. And be sure and listen again next week. And you can find our program notes and links to social media at cradlemyheart.org. And I hope that you'll visit. And if God so moves, we would appreciate your gift of any size as well. Kim Cattola, thank you so much for listening. Let's close by just listening to this beautiful rendition of Jesus Loves Me from my good friend Rick Barron. Remember, Jesus loves you, and so do we.